From the heart of Broadway here in historic downtown Cape Girardeau, it's my cousin, Ryan Casper.
Hello!
On the show.
I love you.
I love you too. I missed you, man.
It's been too long.
It's been months.
It's been years.
Yeah. It's been a while. For those of you who don't know, this is Mr. 100 with me, your host, Shannon Young, Mr. 100 himself, which is just about the dumbest goddamn nickname you've ever heard.
I gotta agree.
You agree with that?
No, but it's catchy.
It is catchy, and that's all that matters in the entertainment industry.
Look good on a button?
If I had a button.
You need one.
I have a few buttons.
Merchandise.
It's getting pressed. Yeah, Lindsay?
Got a merchandise.
Where's the merchandise at?
T-shirts, headbands.
Dildos? The official Podzilla 1985 dildo. It comes in regular size, small, and Dalton.
No.
Which is micro.
Oh, and then the
Allie
large
didn't
size.
With a micro Dalton penis joke. I don't know why. She must be distracted because she loves hearing about how small Dalton's penis is.
Well, you'd have to create a whole new design and call that one the Mr. 100.
That one's complicated. Like, you don't quite know how to fit it in. Like, it looks like it would just go because it's normal, but then you get it to the hole and you kind of maneuver it a little bit.
Well, you could take a Cthulhu-like angle on it. Tentacles and all that. 100 of them.
100 tentacles for Mr. 100's dildo.
There you go.
The Mr. 100 dildo, 100 tentacles.
That might be dangerous.
I could satisfy 100 women at once, or one really big woman with a huge vagina.
Or a great porno. This started out real low.
No, this is a high point of the show.
Oh, is it?
That's the scary part. Hey, so if you're still with us,
God.
Shannon Young here, Mr. 100, with his cousin, Ryan Casper. R.E. Casper.
That's it.
Of Casper Limited. Is that not the name of your entity?
R.E. Casper.
Do you go by Ari Casper?
Yeah.
Is that the official name?
Yeah.
Because on Facebook, you can look him up, Ari Casper, but don't look him up. Or do.
Yeah, we'll
we like attention.
Throw some links around.
Just like I have, that I spell my name differently for the show.
Before we get into it, why was that?
That is the Irish spelling of Shannon.
With the little hyphenation?
Yeah, and I celebrate my Irish heritage, so if I could, I would probably actually get it legally changed in the future, because I just prefer that spelling. But I also use it for my entertainment ventures. Which makes it really awkward when people that we used to know try to look us up. Because Kaz and I, he's not just my cousin. Other than Gina and my brother John, who I don't speak to very often, he's just about the only family I have left. You hear me talk on this show week after week about Shannon ain't got no family, this and that. Well, that's not entirely true. I have a cousin who is near and dear to my heart. He's here with me tonight. We grew up together, same places, same people. So
technically, we didn't know we were family at first.
We didn't. You called me one day out of the blue.
I think we've just been hanging out for a while too.
And you call me, and you're just like, "Hey, are you related to this person?" I was like, "I think so, Mom. Am I related to this person?" Yeah, dude, we're cousins.
Yeah, well, come to find out, your mom is actually my grandpa's sister.
Yes.
So it's like not just cousins; it's close cousins.
Why is it whenever it's a simple relation, people try to explain it to me? I had a guy in the store the other day. He said, "Yeah, my brother's kid, my nephew." And I thought, I know what your brother's kid is, but I need you to explain that one to me. Your mom's my grandma's second neighbor?
I don't know. Would that be a second cousin?
I have no idea.
I don't know how that works. Let's get on into it.
Just leave it at cousins.
Yeah.
Casper is here to talk to me tonight, straight from California, from San Francisco, where you moved after moving to Columbia first, and then you went on to San Francisco. You and Chad.
No. I went to Columbia first, there for 3 years, then Chicago for three years.
You did go to Chicago.
Yeah,
I was in Chicago for about three years. You got robbed.
Well, they attempted to. It didn't work out for them, but.
You got a body, you got a notch in your belt there?
No. It's not as glorious as it sounds. I was walking the dog, had three people try and mug me in. Well, the way it works is there's this alley back where I live behind the place.
Yeah.
And there'd already been a car firebombed one night, bumper to bumper. It was actually quite magnificent from the roof watching it.
Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah.
It's like early 4th of July.
Yeah.
But not really.
No.
There's these three cats that was walking down the street. They were a distance from me. I saw one on a bike. He actually went out of the alley and toward the front of the block And I guess he was going to flank me. And anyway, I'm walking my dog. So I'm trying to, you know, figure out a way out of this because I know what's about to happen.
Right.
Anyway.
Cause you lived in Chicago.
No.
You knew this was coming. Because you lived in Chicago.
Down from Caprini Green area. So it was a little less ideal than some areas.
And you walked your dog there.
I did.
Smart.
Yeah, touche. But no, the one on the bike tried to come in behind me, but I swung around to try and grab a hold of him because I figured I'm going to make the first move.
Yeah.
He fell off the bike, grabbed it, took off, and the rest of them did. So I guess it was one of those things, you know, I wasn't an easy
worse.
Mark.
It could have been much, much worse.
Yeah.
With the violence that's in Chicago, the gun violence, the death, it could have been much, much worse.
But I didn't have a gun and I still got out of it. So.
Well, how's that possible?
Who would have thought?
I didn't know in this country, if you don't have a gun, you can't escape a situation. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, you always got to have one.
Carry your gun with you, folks, at all times.
Yeah.
If you feel the slightest bit threatened, shoot first. You will be exonerated.
You will. Well, no, unless you have a badge.
Unless you, if you're white and you shoot at a cop, you will get in trouble. But,
yes.
But officers, if you're listening to this, if them coloreds act up, do what you want. You're fine. Tamir Rice will. We'll testify to that. Well, he won't testify to that because he's dead.
Yep.
They shot him dead.
And the killer is exonerated.
No charges.
None whatsoever.
And that's something we're going to talk about because you and I, we're not going to talk about it right now, but you and I have always been very like-minded. When we were in college together, they called us the anarchists of the school. I've told that story on the show before. You and I were called the anarchists of the school. Oh, yeah. I've revealed secrets.
Oh, the good old days at Shawnee.
We've gotten in trouble a lot for our views over the years. And you think very much like me in terms of political and social climates. Mm-hmm. You and I have a lot of the same views.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm sure your view of the police brutality angle, especially with cases like Tamir Rice and, you know, some of the other people that have lost their lives in this.
Michael Brown.
It's bullshit.
Yeah. I would say bullshit is even being light about it.
It is.
A disgust, a shame.
And it keeps happening.
Continuously. I know there's a statistic that came out that said there was 1,000 killed at the hands of police last year. Now, that's not saying that they were all, you know, unjustified.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, we're in a climate now where America feels that without a gun, you can't feel safe.
It's like the Wild West out there.
Yeah.
It's like the Wild Wild West, you know?
It's like this, it's like a reversion back to if I don't have a gun on my side, then I can't, you know, have a family or walk down the street.
And something I like that has been shown to me before, and I think even Big T, said this once. And if I'm wrong, Tanner, please forgive me. Correct me. Send me a message like you do every time I do a show where I say something that offends you. But I could have sworn Tanner showed us the statistics once of how many, and it may be somebody else. So I'm really sorry if this is not Tanner, but he showed me a statistic once. But of white people that shot by the police versus black people that shot by the police. And the argument being that.
It wasn't that Trump. Image, was it?
No. Tanner does not, for all the shit I give Tanner, he does not just spout off rhetoric.
Okay, good.
He researches his stuff.
Well, I've noticed that in the shows too, yeah.
And if it wasn't him, it was somebody. But the argument being that, hey, yeah, we know black people are dying, but white people are dying too. Look how many white people die. Why are we talking about this? And at first, I used to buy into that. I thought, yeah, why is it only that we're showing these black people that are getting killed? Why not show the white people that are getting killed too? But then I realized, you're diminishing the value of the lives of the people that we're talking about by saying, oh, yeah, well, they died, but look at all these people that died.
Well, it kind of comes back to the Black Lives Matter movement.
Versus All Lives Matter.
All Lives Matter, which is, all lives do matter.
It's true.
But
you're still taken away from the fact that black people are being murdered by police officers unjustly. And I say unjustly, it's easy for us to say because we're not there.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have the 2 seconds to respond like Tamir Rice. Where they gave him 2 seconds of warning and then shot him dead. A 12-year-old.
After pulling up way too close.
Yeah.
As far as the procedure in which they took this, they drove right up on him, got out of the car. 2 seconds later, the boy's dead.
12-year-old boy.
Yeah, 12-year-old boy. But yet they could have easily stopped 100, 200 yards back, opened the door, stood behind it, called out.
Yeah.
I mean, any cop with training you would think would do such a thing.
Yeah. And it's, they blame the victim. We talked about this before the show. He looked like he was 20 years old. He looked older. He was bigger than a 12-year-old normally looks.
Mm-hmm.
So now that is a justifiable excuse. is that, well, they didn't look like, and what did you say in the car? You said that doesn't work for rape.
Well,
it doesn't work for sex with girls.
Yeah. It's like a cop can say, well, he looked older than 12, but yet they'll try somebody for statutory rape because somebody could say, oh, well, she looked 18. Works for a cop, but not for a person.
Yeah.
Not, you know.
Not that you're advocating sex with underage girls. No. But if you were to say, well, I thought she looked like she was 20 and she was 12, that ain't going to fly in court.
Nope. Why would it for a cop?
I guess you would need a badge for that to fly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Casper, I don't know how much you, we're going to jump back into those hot topics in a second. But one thing I like to do on this show, and I know you listen.
Yes.
We do questions.
Okay.
It's the best part. It's my favorite part. It's the community aspect.
Is this why you were telling me not to look at Facebook?
I told you not to look at Facebook because in the history of this show, only one person has looked at the questions before they were asked. Mm-hmm. And we try to avoid that. So.
Well, I didn't, so.
Good.
Hopefully
you're
was there a lot
cousin.
Of them?
We got a few. Yeah.
Okay, good.
And
cool.
A couple people that, first time people too.
Oh,
because normally we have the gallery of people that always ask questions because they listen to every show and they're involved with the show.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
That's how it was my show too.
Yeah, which I want to talk about your show after this too.
Yeah.
I definitely want to talk about your, because you're a podcast host too.
I am.
Because everything I do, you have to do afterwards.
Well, why not?
Monkey see, monkey do.
Well,
and we'll go over that history.
Copying is the best flattery,
imitation.
Right? Imitation.
Or imitation. It's a serious form of flattery.
Oh.
But let's get some questions going. Lindsay Wolfgang, do you know Lindsay?
Yes.
You familiar with her?
Yes, I do believe.
Good seeing her today?
Hell yeah.
Fantastic.
Hey, we had burritos. Good time.
It was a good show.
It's been a long time.
It's been a long time. Been too long. By the way, shout out to your lovely wife who couldn't make it tonight.
Hi, Jane. Love you, baby.
And sweet girl. Sweet, sweet girl.
Yep.
Amazing woman.
Jewel of my life.
You lucked out is what you did.
Yeah, because at least she deals with me.
That's all I can ask
people
for.
In this world that can.
Yeah. Well, don't I know it. Well, Lindsay's got a couple questions for you, and some of these are going to tag or are going to be stuff you're interested in.
Yeah.
Number one, what is your favorite memory that Shannon is a part of? Okay. That's fun. Let's make it more about me.
That's okay.
A significant lack of me on this show.
Well, you're Mr. 100, so you gotta be 100%.
100 memories of me.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's a lot to choose from what, backyard wrestling to journalism to, actually, you know what, I gotta say one of my favorites was kind of a compounded one. It's Shawnee.
Yeah.
Was it video production class? Were you in that?
No, I was. Yeah.
Okay, you were in it, but I was just,
You just came up there, yeah, to hang out.
Yeah.
With Musgrave. Poor John Musgrave. Poor big John Musgrave, who, I don't know if he listens to the show or not, but, we put him through some hell.
Yeah. Sorry
about
that.
He also deserved it.
Certain times, but.
Did he not say that all gays were pedophiles at one point? I know you remember that.
I do remember that. I do, and we put him to task over it.
But
there was a lot of things I put him to task to, that I may have gotten a little heavy-handed with too.
We all did.
You get older. But
a little older, a little wiser.
And what was this? This was post 9/11.
Yeah.
And we're doing our own movies, college movies.
I wish we had those.
You don't have those anymore?
I think I just have the first movie, not the one where we.
You don't have all the recordings with Zach in the background with the sign?
No. And let me. I know where you're going with this. I want to explain to the audience here. Well, we had a video production class. One of the assignments was film your own movie, a short film. And we didn't. We procrastinated until the very end. And then we just said, let's go make a movie. So we went out in the woods. We recorded a little 5-minute film where you and, was it Zach?
Me and, wait, were you talking about the sword scene?
The first movie where you guys were in the woods running from Bob.
Oh, the horror movie.
Yeah, I think it was you and Zach, wasn't it?
Me, Zach, the HB, and...
What was Zach's last name? I don't remember anymore.
I don't remember.
Not Zach Price, not Zach Kirkus.
No.
Who are friends of the show.
Which actually, it sucks, because I mean, he wasn't bad people.
No, he was a good guy, just drunk a lot.
Yeah.
Remember, he used to bring in alcohol in his baby's sippy cup.
Yeah, I do remember that.
So we filmed this movie where Ryan and Zach are running from Bob, who's a serial killer. They run into Chad, who was on the show just a couple weeks ago for Thanksgiving. And, Chad was supposed to be this hardcore black guy that these white people were scared of. In the woods.
Which is scary.
Just smoking.
Just the fact that he was there was suspicious.
What's awful about it though, and what is the funniest part of that story to me, is that Chad was so inept at acting like a stereotypical black person.
Yes.
We said, Chad, be as black as possible. Be hardcore. Be a thug. And I still remember the first line he said was, what the fuck's up, man?
Yep.
You motherfuckers out in these motherfucking woods. And he sounded so white and so country. After we hit cut, we all laughed. We're like, Chad, you white motherfucker. You can't even act black.
I think it was less to do with that and more about just not being able to act in general.
He's just not a good actor is what it was.
Nor were the rest of us.
No, except, some of the reaction, you especially, the reaction shots.
Oh, yeah. Like when we got behind Bob.
When you grab the two sticks and you're like, come on, motherfucker, come on. And he cuts the sticks in half.
Now, this is Bob that does this.
Yes.
He was a Jack large, McNeil. Menacing fellow who, yeah, yes.
Jack McNeil on Facebook. Look him up.
Jack McNeil, wielding a machete. And
out in the Shawnee, by Shawnee College, mm-hmm. as we're walking around campus, armed to the teeth with shotguns, real shotguns.
Which is the part that I remember.
That's your favorite part?
That's the memory I have of us walking around with, samurai swords.
Shotguns.
Bird dog with his shotguns in the back. All post 9/11.
Yeah.
Because
we couldn't afford props.
Couldn't afford props, so we just had the real ones. And we figured we were gonna go ahead and film a movie fighting with real weaponry.
The sequel to the horror film.
Yes, yes.
To where
that
you
was
and
the forest of erection.
The forest of erection. I remember that.
Puss in Boots.
Yeah, Puss in Boots was the bad guy.
Yes, it was a little bitty figurine. Oh, this was so horrible.
And you and I had the most epic fight scene.
We did.
We had the most epic fight scene because Jeremy Evers, Jizzle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Bob had a fight scene, but they couldn't get it right.
Well, they were on the log.
And Jeremy couldn't run on the log.
Yeah, there was a matter of balance that was necessary that was lacking at the time. But the sword scene that we had actually worked it out pretty well. It was
a good scene.
One against two. And we coordinated it, or what's the word?
Choreographed
the thing. It was, a minute long scene, which if you're fighting with real swords is actually a long time.
You would be amazed when you're filming a scene how long it takes versus how much footage you get.
Right.
It takes 40 minutes to get a 2 minute scene right.
But my favorite part, it was when we were fighting, the camera pans away. And you hear
the grunts and the fighting. Yeah.
But the comic relief part was whenever it panned around and it actually showed us just sitting down.
We were just sitting there going, ha,
hey, Hollywood, you know.
It was fun. It was a lot of fun. My favorite Ryan memory, let me share my favorite Kaz memory. And God, there's so many of them.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. Oh, God, I'm trying to pick one out of my memory bank. It may have been the time, I think it was journalism or video production, where we locked Musgrave out during the snow, and you grabbed that giant cinder block of ice and just crushed it over his head.
I thought it was snow.
You thought it was snow, but it wasn't.
It was a brick of ice, but he was holding me against the wall.
He was, yeah.
Like, because we were doing our backyard wrestling out in front of the place.
Yeah.
And he was quite pissed about that.
Well, he was pissed about it because we were having class at that moment.
We were having our class.
We were having a class of pain outside while he's trying to teach inside.
More power to him for trying.
God, I still remember one of the first times I went into his class. He also taught journalism. That's where you and I cut our teeth originally with journalism. And I walked into his class for the first time, my headphones in, and I was listening to NSYNC.
What?
And I'm just like, I think it was It's Gonna Be Me. And I walk into his class as he's teaching, singing as loud as possible. And he just stops and stares and looks at me like, are you finished? And I just sung, I grabbed what I needed, I walked out, and the look on everybody's face was priceless.
I think I actually remember that.
I think you were outside waiting for me.
Yes, cause I think we left.
Cause I think it was when I first signed up for class, and that's when I first saw Vina. Should have known.
Yeah.
Curses.
Red flags.
Yeah. Flags everywhere. All right. Number two from Lindsay. Have you ever tried micro photography? And if not, does it pique any interest in you? Now, this is important because you have your own podcast.
I do.
What is the name of that podcast?
Street PX, podcast about street photography.
Street photography. When I knew you, you were a graphic design artist.
Yep.
You worked at,
Chemiclad. Yep. Art director.
Where I almost got a job, but our political views differed and that kind of cost me my job.
Well, you went into the interview with those political views.
We went into a lot of things with our political views back then. But you did that. You moved out to Columbia and then California, Chicago.
Chicago then in California.
And you started doing photography. And you have been heavy into photography since then.
Yeah.
And you have your own podcast about it right now.
Yep. So pretty much, I started it in Chicago, is where I started photography at. And like most photographers, shooting inanimate objects, little things here
street
and there.
Street scenes, that kind of stuff?
It was street, you, street came about.
Was that later?
Later, about a year later. Okay. I was out shooting architecture, which Chicago has plenty of. Yeah. And I just saw some interesting people, doing some really weird shit and focused my camera on them, not knowing that was actually a genre of photography at the time. Mm. And I just started shooting people because it's a subject that's always ever changing.
And we made fun of you.
Did you?
We did.
You assholes.
I did.
That's okay.
When you first started doing photography, we were all just like, oh, another black and white photo.
Oh, look at him taking
Casper.
Pictures.
Yeah. I didn't realize how in love with it you were until not too long ago, a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I realized you were, this passion. Was legit. Yeah. This is a passion for you. Kind of like
completely.
Journalism was for me and writing was for me. And you do a great job at it.
Appreciate that.
You're a fantastic photographer. Have you tried microphotography?
I have tried.
And what is microphotography?
If I'm not mistaken, I think she may, and forgive me, Lindsay, if I'm
going to look it up.
If I'm taking this the wrong way, but I'm thinking you may have meant macro photography, which is, close up. Like, taking a picture of a mosquito or some very, very small, tiny items.
Microphotography is the extreme form of macrophotography.
Oh, so it's even further.
So it's related, yeah.
Yeah, so that's probably talking about taking a shot of a fly's eye.
Yeah, I'm looking at pictures of it right now, and it's a lot of bugs and flowers close up. So have you cut your teeth on that?
I've tried it. When it comes to macro, microphotography, it's extremely difficult. Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, you can say the same a lot.
Yeah.
You can say the same a lot of the genres of it. But with that, one of the big issues comes down is to equipment. You actually have to buy equipment that is dedicated for macro or micro photography, which is very expensive for good gear. And mm-hmm. if you want to do good work, you have to. For me, I haven't done a whole lot because as I was acquiring gear and investing money, I invested in a different direction.
Yeah.
So while I have tried it, not to the extremes of what people may see online.
That's not your specialization.
Nah.
What is your specialization? Is it street?
Street, or some people would call it urban life photography, right. Or documenting the human, like.
Just humans.
Humans in general. Yeah. I do documentary work too. I'm actually about to transition a lot of my work into documentary work, documentary photography. So that would be, I've got projects where in San Francisco, there's, what's called tent cities, where homeless people are living under bridges, living in really foul conditions.
Right.
And since there's no voice for the people that are there, what I'm looking at doing is actually ingraining myself into a situation, going in and meeting these people, documenting them.
Showing how they live, what they go through.
And telling their story. I want to choose two or three of them and let them tell their story through my work.
Sounds dangerous too.
Yes, it is.
You carrying a gun?
No. I'm in California.
Is it safer out there?
No.
You don't have Schwarzenegger as governor anymore.
No, but I kind of wish I did.
Me too.
Just for the novelty
of it.
What
a fun governor that would be. I love the Terminator.
It'd be kind of scary in a boardroom, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Well, Schwarzenegger's scary wherever he goes. Did you see Terminator Genesis?
No, I did not. No.
It was good.
Was it?
Don't let the haters.
That was my
tell
biggest
you.
Issue.
No, I loved it. I thought it was great.
It got torn to pieces.
Did you like Salvation?
I did.
Then
yeah.
You'll love this because Salvation was awful and you're an idiot.
Okay. I'll take that. Touche. Right. Touche.
All right. Hey, Gina Garrett.
Hello, cuz.
Our cousin, Gina Garrett. Another family member there.
Yes, it is.
That I never get to see. I never get to see her.
We got to get you up to Columbia to see her. She is a dear.
I can't remember the last time I saw her or if I have ever seen her.
But you know,
I'm pretty sure I have because, yeah, we know each other. And it's like I've got a couple friends like Hunter and Asa to a lesser extent, Cody Sandusky, who's on the show, where I don't remember when I knew them, but I just know I know them.
Like at what point you had actually met
them? Yeah, like at what point you met and became friends or, you know, I don't remember.
Actually, when it comes to Gina, it wasn't until I was living in Colombia that I realized I had a cousin in Colombia, her. And, you know, our family, from you and my, the side of the family that me and you are related, that's Gina, the Garrett side.
Right.
And, her and all of her family's up there, which I was not aware of. And.
Well, I think I knew that because of my, uncle, I guess it would be Harold.
Harold.
Is from up there. I think he's a teacher, isn't he?
He was a program director of the agroforestry department of Mizzou.
Yes. And I met him a handful of times. The last time I saw him was at my mother's funeral. And I do remember meeting them, but never really knew them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we weren't close, but, at a funeral, everybody's close.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Which Gina would be your first cousin. So she's even more cousin than me and you are cousins.
Oh, hell. Confirmed.
Yeah.
On Podzilla 1985. Well, Gina doesn't really have a question. She just says, I wish I was there. What an awesome three-cousin get-together that would be. And indeed it would be.
Yes, it would. We actually might have to make that happen. There's always the glory of Google Plus Hangouts.
And Skype.
And Skype.
And yeah, there's always options. Aaron Britton. Nesto.
Nesto.
Nesto. Old friend.
My buddy. Seen him last night.
And I love this question. How about your favorite albums of the year? You guys still listen to music, don't you? I do, but man.
You know what? Okay.
It's hard for me to listen to music.
I'm going to say this, and I hate myself for it, but I think I'm realizing my own age and mortality and realizing why my parents hated my music.
Because you hate a lot of people's music now?
Because, yeah. I look at today's music, and I'm like, well, this is shit. But at the same time, not, because I do like Ex-Ambassadors or the one that did Church, Hoosier?
Yeah, Take Me to Church.
Yeah, Take Me to Church. Like, so there are artists that I like today.
It's hard to say favorite albums of the year though, because with the way radio works, I don't know what album was released when.
That's my issue, because I've got all these albums in my head, and I know the moment that I say them, it's going to be like, oh, somebody,
that's not this year.
Yeah, exactly. The
Nate
internets
Smith.
Are going to come flying out going, oh, you're stupid. You did the wrong. Yeah.
Well, what's the last album you bought?
The last album I bought.
Well, it was an album you liked so much you bought it.
Actually, it was, oh man, Dead Space.
That's a good album.
Well, no, I mean actual Dead Space.
Sorry.
Well, I don't know. I didn't really buy it. I'm in vinyls now. So,
hipster fuck.
Moody Blues, and we got some Bruce Springsteen and,
The Boss.
The Boss, yeah. Not necessarily that they're my favorites. I just acquired them.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah.
The last album I bought was Taylor Swift, 1989.
Really?
I bought it this year, if that counts.
Oh, okay.
No, fuck you. I know where you're going with this.
No.
Let's go into defense mode for Taylor Swift.
I'm not even attacking.
Do you like Taylor Swift?
I don't dislike her.
I didn't.
I think she's a phenomenal entertainer.
I didn't like her. Like, I did not like her until I heard Blank Space by I Prevail, which was a cover of her song, Blank Space.
Mm-hmm.
And then I heard her version, and I thought, well, this is even better. And then I started listening to her music, and I realized, you know why everyone likes Taylor Swift? Because she's good.
She is good.
She's a phenomenal singer. And the 1989 album, even though it's more pop than she's used to, she's always still a country artist.
Always.
I really like it.
Well,
it's
thing,
a good album.
My issue is not her talent as far as singing. I guess it would be Foo Fighters. That was actually the last one I actually purchased. Which was
good choice.
Which was an album, vinyl as well, but.
Yes. Well, I didn't shake my head. No, it's fine.
No. Look, I can get shit and download it all online, but sometimes if I want an actual something in my hand.
Yes.
Why the hell am I going to buy a CD?
It, to me, vinyls.
There's no point in buying a CD anymore.
Vinyls are like, Super Nintendo carts for me. It's like they're older and they're not used as much, but you can't get that same feeling from a CD or an MP3 that you get from a vinyl.
You can't.
Just like PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Super Nintendo.
Right.
That is
well,
the
when
thing
I walked
right
into
there.
When I walked into, here today in the Gaming Ground studio.
709 Broadway.
709 Broadway.
All your gaming needs.
What was it we were talking about? I lost track of what I was actually about to talk about.
Music.
I still lost track of it. Oh no.
Son of a bitch.
You were talking about the games and you had posed a question, which do I prefer, Fallout 4 or Turtles in Time?
Turtles in Time. Yeah.
Turtles in Time.
Of course.
But
and who was it that didn't understand that?
Too young to make a comment.
Yeah.
Too young to make a comment.
Now there are a lot of bands that I've been turned on to this year that I'd never heard before, and I don't know if their albums are new or not. Of 21 Pilots. I'm a big 21 Pilots fan. Tanner turned me on to that one. And I think Jordan also did. I think he did. He mentioned them at some point. I'm being told he never listened to them. Okay, my apology. Reliant K, that's one that you pointed me out to.
I was listening to that on the way over here, actually.
I've got my list up here of people I've never listened to. The Gardner Sisters. Oh, my God. Have you ever heard the Gardner Sisters?
They
do folksy covers.
I can dig that.
Yeah, like they have a great sound. Check. I can't think because I'm so in love with
soundtrack?
Them. Soundtrack? Yes, I love them.
What's your favorite soundtrack movie?
My favorite movie soundtrack? Probably Daredevil.
Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou?
Son of a bitch. That's a good one, too. That's on my Spotify.
Best one ever released.
But you remember how great the Marvel soundtracks were?
Yeah, I do.
Daredevil, yeah. Elektra, The Punisher.
The Daredevil phenomenal. One was phenomenal.
Did you see the show, Daredevil?
Yes.
Loved it?
Good.
Yes.
Yeah, and I love the Flash show that's come out.
I have not watched it.
It's a little juvenile in writing, but I can see where Netflix is starting to pull the Marvel universe together.
Yes, and they just today released pictures from season 2 of Daredevil, and they show Jon Bernthal as the Punisher.
That's right. Well, there's going to be a spinoff of that, right?
It's season 2 of Daredevil. Punisher's on. Now, there is a spinoff, though, Jessica Jones.
Jessica Jones, we've watched that as well. Yeah.
And then they've got Luke Cage coming out eventually, plus Iron Fist. A lot of people are getting their own shows. Like the heroes that weren't good enough to make it into the fucking movies.
Well, that's what we got Netflix for.
Which is better.
Much better.
Honestly. All right. So, Aaron, to answer your question, go buy Taylor
Thanks,
Swift.
Thanks, Nesto.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't say that. He did.
What? You didn't say Taylor Swift?
I say Foo Fighters.
Go buy Foo Fighters. Absolutely. Everlong is like my favorite song in the world. That me and Hunter, that's the one thing that still, that binds us together is our love for that
Everlong.
Song. And I always said, if you hear.
Is that like your song that you dance to? Like First Dance?
No. If you hear Everlong, before any show at this point on, that's my last show. When you hear Everlong,
that's the end, right?
It's like
David Letterman. Time.
That's the salute. So when I go, you'll know. Matt Lawler.
Matt, my favorite debating friend.
Matt Lawler, old friend of ours, good man, and loves to debate.
And who just recently passed through J school.
Yeah.
Has he passed the bar? Everything?
I don't know if he's lawyered up yet.
Well, kudos on getting past J school, man. The degree that you get.
Judicial.
I don't know.
Jury.
It's a law degree.
Jizzle.
But congratulations on graduation, man.
Matt was always, and Matt is, doesn't.
Opposite side of the aisle.
Yes, but I say doesn't.
But wonderfully
have the same
so, because he's rational about it.
He is. He'll debate and he debates.
Yep.
He doesn't argue. Although being a lawyer, that will be his job.
You're going to have to start getting, he's good at arguing too.
Originally, I went to college to be a lawyer until I realized how much that was going to be. Then I was going to be a teacher. Then I realized that ain't going to work. Then I went into journalism and I liked it.
Yeah, but
and here we are.
Also, but journalism, are you really a journalist at this point or are you more?
I haven't done journalism since I'd say Blogzilla was pretty journalistic.
Yeah.
Cause I did write articles. I researched them. With this, I've basically turned into, I like to compare myself to George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM. Personal hero. Would love to have him on the show or just talk to him. He lives in St. Louis. He's from St. Louis. So it's not completely out of the question.
There's always the internet. He's got Twitter, I'm sure.
I always assumed the internet was just for pornography.
For porn.
That's creepy. Matt Lawler wants to know, how is Elvis and have you seen him lately?
How's what? Wait, hold on. Roll this back.
How is Elvis and have you seen him lately? Can anyone name the quote? What movie is that quote from? I know. Ethan? Nope. Allie?
We're getting no's from everyone, including myself.
Really?
I just went blank.
It's Ghostbusters. I'm going to ask you the question that's on everybody's mind. How is Elvis and have you seen him lately?
Yeah. No.
No, you haven't seen Elvis.
I wasn't. No, actually, take that back. A couple years ago, I did in Vegas.
All right. You know, I have a question for you related to ghosts and ghost busting. You do photography. Have you ever caught anything on camera or have you ever tried to catch anything on camera? Because one of the big points of ghost hunting is spirit photography, catching things that the eye can't see.
Right.
Have you ever thought about trying that out or have you tried it out?
I haven't tried it out like purposefully as – you know, most of the pictures come up. If Nesto, you're still listening, brother, VR Gorilla. We had, when we used to, kill brain cells back in Villa Ridge, we were all.
Oh, I remember.
Yeah. Way too many. And thank God I've hopefully recovered a few.
You moved on. Good for you.
Moved on. But we did catch a picture that it looked like we brought it into
the
computer.
We broke Cass.
We broke me. I brought it into the computer, messed with it because I was doing graphic design at the time. I was just doing photo editing and everything and, tinkered with it for a while and it looked like a gorilla, honestly. Like, but the ones from Congo.
Vietnam gorilla, yeah.
Yeah. But the real fucked up ones from Congo, you know, the albino gorillas.
Yeah. So it's just a big fat white dude out there.
Probably. Yeah. Just a very fast moving one. I never caught one, but there's a place in Villaridge, or not Villaridge, but outside Mounds called Wagner's Hill.
Oh, son of a bitch. Which is not, Wagner's Hill.
Not a haunted place.
Okay, thank
you. It's more of a place to go and screw, and if,
yeah, because I almost screwed there once.
I think that's one of those.
Remember
places,
that story?
I think if any girl was to roll around out there, she'd be impregnated. It's just that horrible.
There's that much semen just covering the
probably
ground. And that semen has a lifespan of about 30 years.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's all frozen.
It's always cold out there.
That place in particular.
John Massey, this question's for me. When are you gonna, this Big Johnny we've had on the show plenty of times. When are you gonna give that poor little guy Nate his own Mr. 100 show? I mentioned this on last week's show.
Who?
Nate Smith. Now, Nate Smith, sweet boy. Sweet boy. And he also sits on the other side of the aisle when it comes to views.
That's good, though.
Well, not for him.
Oh, okay.
Because he doesn't really back him up with quote-unquote facts.
Oh, he throws out, like, Donald Trumpisms.
Yeah, his mom is a huge, probably, supporter of Trump. But for the record, I am going to have Nate on the show, and we are going to talk about stuff in the next couple of weeks. I'm also going to have Big Johnny on soon, because he deserves his own show. I also, oh, God, I need to get everybody on here at some point.
Well, it's just, it's a time thing. It's a time thing.
No, Ethan, I'll have you too. I had Zach Kirkus, I'll have you.
Yay!
Yeah, that's my son. Anyway.
Adopted.
Daisy Jane Casper. Do you know her?
Yes, that's my wife.
That's your wife. Lovely wife.
Is it a sweet one?
Yeah. It says, why are you the cutest? Sorry, had to.
Oh, dear.
I can't argue with that. Kaz, you are the cutest. Remember when I used to wear the fake glasses into journalism?
The ones with no lenses?
Which I still wear fake glasses, by the
way. That's your emo glasses.
Yeah. Whenever I want to look smart. And you took my glasses.
Did it make you look smart?
And then you wore them.
Uh-huh. I looked pretty damn good in those glasses.
You did.
But I don't need glasses.
You didn't. Well, I don't either.
It's why we were wearing them.
I wear them because I'm gigantic. And it makes people less afraid of me.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's why I wore them.
Oh, I thought you thought they made you look smaller.
I don't think anything makes me look smaller.
I think a bigger person.
Death would make me. Oh, the only person that's bigger than me is Tanner.
So if you stood beside Tanner, you
would
look smaller.
When I stand next to Tanner, I look like a normal person.
Yeah, if you, Tanner, and say Jack McNeil stood all together or up at a panel or something, then you'd look normal size. But for now, you look kind of monolithic.
Sasquatchish.
Yeah.
My hand is as big as
if you just let all your hair grow, we could put you in the forest and then you could just
I could be the gorilla you caught on camera.
Yeah, we can get blurry photos.
Like Dirtfoot.
Yeah. Because apparently there's no such thing as a clear photo when you're in the woods.
No. So, yes, Janie, Kaz is the cutest.
I appreciate that.
She lucked out, too.
I hope so.
You hope she feels that way. Dalton Manch, Salty Dalty, Pussbot, 5,000. Oh, Nigga Lips himself.
What in... Okay. Okay. That is a hell of a introduction.
He has a lot of nicknames.
That's great.
It was the guy that was here earlier with the man bun.
Would you call it? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Is that better than Mr. 100?
Yes. Clearly. He wants to know who is Ray's father.
Ray's father? Oh, we're talking, Star
Wars. Spoiler alert. All right. If you have not seen Star Wars, this isn't really a spoiler, but just skip it. Skip ahead about 5 minutes anyway, just in case.
Yeah.
Who's Ray's father? Everyone says it's Luke.
To be honest with you, I would be very happy to see that it's maybe not happy to see because it's another rehash storyline, but
yeah.
I don't know. Rey and Ren are twins of Han Solo, and you have another Luke Leia situation. Just wait, because on the next episode, there's going to be another inter-family makeout session.
Yeah, they're keeping it in the family.
Yeah, I got to. It's Star Wars.
My best guess would be it's either Lando Calrissian's daughter or Admiral Ackbar.
That would be interesting. Wait, fish person?
Yeah. It's a trap.
It's a trap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there was something fishy about the way she handled that lightsaber. Burp,
burp, burp. A little too quickly. It's also like Finn, who handled the lightsaber a little too quickly.
At least with Finn, we've had this debate before.
You know that's Mace Windu's grandson, right?
Shut up. My personal belief, if he's a stormtrooper, he's been trained in hand-to-hand combat. So he might not
have. He was a janitor. I bet he could wield a broom.
I'm going to say he was still sent on a mission with a blaster, meaning he had some combat training or else they wouldn't have sent him.
That was his first one.
But he still had the training. And I'm sure he didn't have a lightsaber, but they maybe trained him with a vibroblade or something. So let's wait. before everyone gets their panties all twisted up.
So that means that if I swing a broom around for a while, then I can pick up a lightsaber and swing it and wield it
just
as well?
It's the same thing.
It is?
It's the same thing.
It's going to have the same weight and balance?
Yes.
Okay, he's not going to cut his own hand off or his leg?
No. But I'm surprised the stormtroopers didn't shoot him because he's black and he had a weapon.
Like when they were in the forest and they were fighting.
The stormtroopers didn't shoot him dead.
No, I'm not even talking about the stormtroopers. I'm talking about when Rey and him fought and he immediately became like this badass lightsaber wielder and was attacking a Sith.
We talked about that they talked about it on Nerd Up on Sunday. Go back and listen to it if you haven't. Kylo Ren was an awful Sith because he's a punk bitch.
Yeah, he's an emo child.
He looks like your brother.
Y'all were showing me that emo thing earlier.
The emo Kylo Ren.
Yes, Twitter. That was fantastic.
And two, Finn didn't really, he wasn't really a badass. He kind of just survived.
He will be, though.
He will be eventually.
Because Anakin was a little bitch ass, too.
And then he became Darth Vader.
Exactly.
The baddest of the badass.
So, I mean, I guess the precursor to being a great villain is to be a bitch.
Yeah. Which is why I think Nate Smith is going to be a great villain someday. Thank God he doesn't listen to the show.
I'm really
anymore.
Glad I don't know what's going on.
Sideburns, masturbates a lot.
That tells me nothing.
That could be anyone we knew in high school.
Yeah.
No?
No.
Okay. You know the only person that has sideburns like Nate that is Kevin Redbeard Shankleberg, who owns the network.
Yes.
So hope the boss is happy. Last question is from Jack McNeil.
Oh.
Speak of the furry devil.
My man.
Furbaka.
A handsome Bob.
Oh, don't you fucking say that.
I love you. You know I do.
Oh, if he's listening to the show right now, he just turned it off.
I know he did.
If he wants to know, do you think there may be one person in this universe that holds every scrap of knowledge? And why is it Jeremy Evers?
Because he's got to frame up the world.
He's framing them up?
Yeah. He's got to get it ready for that front kick.
For the elbows.
For the elbow. Oh, yeah. That's right. Elbows. He was doing the Macho Man thing.
Also,
I want to compound on that because we used to do backyard wrestling.
Yeah.
And
stupidly.
Yeah, too much, and I can't believe nobody got injured, especially
when Bird Dog's truck got injured.
By, what was it, Chad's head?
No, my body.
Your body, yes.
Remember, they threw me into the truck, and I smashed it, and then there was a giant dent in it, and it was a new truck, too.
Like, oh, match over.
WrestleMania.
Yep, WrestleMania. Yeah. And or when, was it Chad that got hit in the face with a snow shovel?
What about when you guys like, double-teamed me and tossed me down the hood of a car?
That was good, though.
What about when we put the trash can on somebody and then hit it with a sledgehammer?
It was a resilient trash can. So was their head.
They were tough. What about when Justin was high as a kite and was reffing the match and he was usually high as a kite.
Who was it that got suplexed, but he just let him go?
That was you.
Yes, exactly.
Me and Chad grabbed you, and I fell back with it. Chad just let go.
Just let go. Yeah. Yay, he'll fall 6 feet.
Let it go.
Frozen.
Frozen and
I got a niece.
Memories.
Yeah.
What do you mean you got a niece? I like Frozen. I'm a full grown man.
You are pretty.
Thank you. I grew my hair out for you. So Jeremy Evers, smartest guy in the world?
Would he be?
Is he smarter than God?
Is he smarter than God? Well, it depends on your point of perspective.
Well, let's talk about your point of perspective because when I did the last Mr. 100.
Yes.
With Allie.
Yes.
And we asked for questions. You asked some pretty.
I asked some pretty
interesting questions.
I thought, okay, look, to be fair, I don't know when things are serious, when things ain't.
On this show, hardly ever serious.
Exactly. Yeah. So I put up some hardly serious questions. And come to find out, it was actually a serious show.
Turns out this was the one.
Yeah, so I'm the asshole.
Yeah.
But, I mean, at the same time, I'm not religious. I guess what they would call agnostic.
Which is a step up because you used to be atheist.
Well, I never claimed atheism.
Did you not?
No.
Kaz?
No, I don't believe that there is.
You don't believe in the Christian God?
No, exactly.
But you believe in a higher power? Probably. Maybe.
I believe that while I don't know the square root of 5,623.
I can look that up.
I don't know if there's something bigger than me in that way. So I'm not going to apply a definition to something I'm not aware of.
That's what they.
Nor am I going to condemn or acknowledge or, you know, do anything in something's name outside of my own moral compass, which I think is fine. I mean.
You have a generally safe moral compass.
Yeah.
That's a good moral compass.
So I need nothing to
always
base it
pointing
off of.
North.
Yeah. And, not to say that anybody that does believe is wrong. That's saying that
it's
is
an
wrong
individual
as well.
Belief.
Yeah. If it makes you happy and hope helps. Then so be it.
I don't think you made fun of me when you remember when I was in college and I dated Jennifer and I did the prayer circles and I did the church. I don't think you made fun of me for it, but a lot of other people did.
A lot of people did. Yeah. I probably made a joke here and there. I'm sure I did. Yeah. I mean, cause I'm an asshole a lot of the time.
Especially back then.
Yeah.
We were huge assholes. Incredible,
but most of my assholes things are jokes.
Well, yeah, it's all in good jest.
Yeah.
That's what I always tell people. Relax. It's fun.
Yeah.
They don't find it fun.
Yeah.
Now, they think I'm racist because I say the N-word every once in a while.
Yeah, but my issue is when you come out here saying that, oh, God told me that I should run for president, or God says that Mexicans shouldn't be here, God says that two people of the same gender shouldn't marry, I think that's fucking stupid.
Do you think Mexicans should marry?
Yeah. Maybe we could, you know, if Trump gets his wall, and then, you know, we can, instead of bringing it down, we can just get a whole bunch of Mexicans marry on top of it.
Donald Trump is the closest. If he gets in, we'll be closest we've ever been to getting Homo Island erected.
Who will be the next, who will be the international Reagan that calls for it to come down?
The first gay president, which will never happen.
Will it
he
not?
Better be in the closet. No, and I don't mean that as in I have a problem with gay people, because you know me. I've been a big gay rights supporter.
Do you think a gay president will come before an atheistic president?
No. I don't think
an atheist president will come before a gay president?
I don't think either. Not in our lifetime.
I don't think it'll ever happen.
Not in our lifetime. Until all those old people that are alive right now that support people like Donald Trump die, we'll never have an atheist president.
We'll live past that. Well, maybe. I don't know. I could get hit by a truck.
Thanks to denial, I'm immortal.
You maybe.
So. See, you ever thought the only reason you die is because you think you're supposed to?
Oh, you mean that you accept it at some point?
Yeah,
and then
you
just
go, well, I'm going to die, and then you die.
I think a truck or a bridge might have something to do with that. But
did you get hit by a bridge?
Yeah, it was rocking a 350 engine. Or you fall in a river.
You open
that's
the
a
door.
Way to go.
You open the door to this. So I want to talk about it just a little bit. Donald Trump. Donald Trump, because, again, you and I have similar beliefs. We grew up together. We grew up in the same place. We were the exceptions to the rule when it came to certain views. We never really fell into the racism. We never fell into the Republicanisms. We stayed on our own 2 feet. We always have. Donald Trump is the biggest idiot in politics, right? No, the people that support Donald Trump are the biggest idiots in politics. And that includes some people's dads.
And I wouldn't even go far as to put it on just the voters either, because you also have to have politicians that help push him along. You don't get there solo.
That's what I don't get, is that Donald Trump.
You have
Trump,
none of them condemning him.
Yeah,
well, not none of them. I'll take that back. There are actually Dick Cheney.
Republicans that
Dick
are
Cheney, the puppet
him.
of Baby Bush, also said he's absolute nut job. So
Donald Trump is the only Republican I've ever seen that has been almost condemned by the entire Republican Party and is still winning
number one.
Republican nomination, probably.
I think he'll win the if he wins the nomination, he won't win the presidency.
If he wins the presidency, it is you're teaching your kids that money can buy you anything, kids.
You ask me what I think of him. All I can say is I think he's dangerous.
He is dangerous.
Because
I've said that before.
This is my biggest issue with the Trump candidacy, and it has a lot to do with not only his ideology, which probably isn't his. He's an entertainer. It's as if Howard Stern went to run for president.
Yeah.
Which
could happen in the future, by the way.
Yeah.
The door's open.
He is controversial because to be controversial.
Yeah.
So I promise you half the shit he says is probably not anywhere near what he believes, but he knows it's going to get a rise out of people. He knows that no PR is bad PR.
Yeah. He's based his entire campaign on the belief that you go counterculture, you go against the grain.
Right.
You say things that other people won't say, and it'll drum you up plenty of support. It will also make you look like a fucking jackass.
Yeah. And
that's going to make our country look like a country full of fucking jackasses if he makes it.
And this has been building up for a while since Clinton era with Newt Gingrich in the fucking Speaker of the House, whenever you're drawing lines in the sand. Once upon a time, we actually had years when we vote where it's not 50-50 or 51-49 voting.
It's not split
down
the middle.
You're not worrying about the electoral vote because it's going to go with the overall vote. Reagan was just about every state went red.
Yeah.
So be it. But after Clinton, after his presidency and Newt Gingrich in the Speaker of the House that started dividing lines and this us versus them thing, it just built from there. And then when Baby Bush came in, it just a war came, people split more and more, and it's just this escalating thing. Now you have a situation with Trump. My issue is you have to have more than one party.
Well, you have to have more than
Only Democrats is going to be bad. And if Trump gets a candidacy, watch out, because there's going to be a rebuilding time. And like any basketball team or football team, when you're in a rebuilding phase, you're going to be shit for a while. Yeah. And we can't have that. We have to have at least two, preferably more than two parties. But it's messing things up bad. And it's also bringing white supremacists to the forefront.
Everyone laughs at me when I say I like Jesse the Body Ventura. Because when you say a statement like, I think Jesse the Body Ventura's beliefs are solid, people laugh. Because he calls himself Jesse the Body Ventura. But anyway, he's said numerous times that a two-party political system in the United States is ridiculous. You have a country that is filled with so many different beliefs, religions, mm-hmm. and you have a two-party system.
It's ludicrous.
And don't say, well, there's the Green Party, there's Independent, there's the all these. No, those are not viable options.
Mm-hmm.
Any fucking nutcase can run for president, and that doesn't mean that they're a viable option.
As long as they got money.
Case in point, Donald Trump.
Yeah. With the exception,
Donald Trump is preying on people's fears too.
With the exception of Bernie Sanders. I mean, he's got a net worth of $200,000-$300,000 to his name.
Is that it?
He has no
poor
super,
guy.
He has no super PACs. He has taken most of his campaign has been financed from $200 or less from multiple people. I mean, you have pretty much what you have on the Democratic side is what the old voting used to be. Bernie versus Hillary would be the equivalent of Democrat versus Republican once upon a time. But the center has shifted so far because every person on the Republican side is trying to out-crazy the next one.
And to the point that I'm actually supporting Jeb Bush for Republican.
For candidacy?
Yeah.
I mean,
he is the, since when to me has a Bush been the lesser of all evils?
But to be honest, I'm tired of fucking monarchy.
We might as well have a king.
I mean, if Hillary Clinton gets voted in or Jeb Bush gets voted in, look at your history of who's been president. It's been Clinton or Bush.
I mean, who do you like in the Democratic race?
Bernie.
Who do you think is going to win? Same?
I would prefer it to be Bernie. In my heart of hearts, I wish it would be because I think it's one of the few people up there in my memory that's actually gave a shit about the people.
But you know it's going to be Hillary.
Probably.
Yeah.
Because Hillary has dirty
name
fucking
value.
Taxes.
She has name value. She's
she has
Clinton.
Name value. She's willing to do dirty tactics, just like the recent DNC bullshit, which was proven to be bullshit, but whatever. I mean, it's just, I wish it could be him because he cares, but he's a statesman. And that's the reason he won't be president.
So if you think it comes down to Hillary versus Trump, who do you got?
To be honest with you,
and if you say Trump, I'm booking my ticket to Alaska.
To be honest with you.
And yes, I know Alaska's in the United States, but as far as out as it is, it might as well fucking not be. Because I'll find a cabin.
I'm not one to ever say such a thing, but I would actually consider not voting. I mean, at least not for either of those two and just go third party.
Because you and I both voted for Obama.
Yeah,
I'll
both
say
times.
That. I'll say that.
I was supporting Obama whenever he was a junior statesman. Before he was a junior statesman, he was still, as they say, a community organizer, which, like, it's a bad thing.
When
it's
we were in college, remember we said in journalism, we said he's going to be big someday.
Yep.
We both said Obama will be someday president, and then he was, and then he fucked up.
How so?
NSA. That's
yeah,
not,
that's a big one.
I
would also go so far as to laughing off the power of. Well, and some people might laugh at it, but it's becoming an actual legitimate issue is marijuana.
Yeah.
I mean, whenever I put my support behind somebody, the NSA thing happens, and then a candidate that is supposed to be so progressive, or at least was at one point in time, and is willing to fess up that fact that he supports marijuana, but at the same time laughing off the issue of marijuana legalization in this nation, which
it's
destroyed people for 70 years. It's ridiculous.
It's almost like a politician would say what he has to say to get in office and then not follow through on it.
It's exactly what it looks like.
Which is weird because that's not usually what they do.
Oh, no, never.
We get accused on this show a lot of time of being left, of being Democrats, of being liberals. Turbo libs, I believe, was a term that was thrown around once.
I mean, I have conservative thoughts, too.
I do, too. And I criticize Obama more than anybody.
I will drag him. I'd drag his ass through glass whenever that shit happens.
The NSA is one of the most deplorable things that an American president has signed off on, and I have no qualms about saying it. I'm a conspiracy theorist. I think people are out to get me.
Do you really think the president?
They verified it.
Do you really think the president actually has as much power as you think he does?
I think people lead
too much credence into the power of what the president can and cannot do.
If the president was so powerful, he wouldn't, get voted down all the time on stuff he wants to pass.
Yeah.
Like Obamacare. Now, I'll be the first one to say that I thought it was ridiculous that Republicans were gonna just walk out on Obamacare and all that stuff.
Oh, you mean the thing that they wrote?
But at the same time.
Otherwise known as Romney Care?
I hate Obamacare, though.
Oh, no, yes, it's not a great thing. Obamacare was not the best bet. Everybody wanted, well, not everybody, but a lot of people want the universal health care.
Yes, universal health care is that would be a great idea.
It would be magnificent.
But not required.
Is it?
Required health care is a pain because I don't have health care.
But
and now I have to pay a fee to the government.
Universal health care wouldn't take a requirement. California is actually working on something that is covered California that is a take on universal health care where it's not an opt-in system. It's not is or isn't. It just is part of the taxes.
But under Obamacare, it is.
Under
the system that we have in place right
now.
Let's
stop calling it Obamacare because it wasn't written by him. It was merely a compromise to get something done.
But he pushed for it. He put his name on it. He plastered his face all
right.
over it.
Well, every media plastered his face upon it.
Deservedly so, though. I mean, he's the one that pushed for it so hard.
Of course.
He's the one that sent me an email
telling
me to sign up for
it. Wouldn't have worked, though.
Universal health care is a great idea.
It is.
But it should not be required. You should not pay a penalty for choosing not to, because it's not...
Mm-mm.
It's not that I don't have the option.
No.
I choose not to exercise the right. And if I'm an idiot for that, sure.
Mm-mm.
But that's my choice.
You're not. It's what it comes down to is a country is like a cruise boat. And like if anybody had listened to his interview with Mark Maron some time back, he actually had a very eloquent way of putting it. And what Maron was pretty much talking to him about is, you know, about Obamacare. It was
right.
The big subject. And what he was explaining is, the fact that to change a country's way of doing things on such a mass scale, such as healthcare, you can't just turn the ship on a 90-degree angle. Everything's going to capsize and it's bad news. You have to kind of, you know, turn it little bit by little bit by little bit toward a direction.
Right.
Now, not saying that Obamacare is good. To be honest with you, the fact that health insurance companies are a part of it is absolute bullshit.
Yeah.
The
absolutely.
Health insurance companies should not have been a part of any of
snakes.
It. It's complete.
Snakes in the grass.
I, in my opinion, I think there should have been a bill that just wrote off the health insurance companies completely.
And just make it more government-based?
To a point. I mean, a lot of people will cringe at that, but... And say, oh, government's bad, but at some point you have to admit, without government, you have anarchy.
You need the government to have it
to a point. And the government isn't all fingermen and, you know,
lobbyists
Gestapo.
And,
yeah, I mean, it is today because we've become an oligarchy.
Yeah.
That's the nature of it. I mean, you can't get anything done unless you have millions to provide.
And I think people forget, there's a quote from V for Vendetta, I've said on the show before, people should fear their governments. Or government should fear their people, not the other way around.
Right.
And that's absolutely
true.
But
you can't now. There's a question.
Not if you don't have a gun.
Even still.
If I had a gun, I wouldn't fear anybody.
because.
I just shoot them.
That's where your dick is, right? On your side.
Oh, right on my side.
Yeah.
Two of them. Two dicks.
Two dicks, or you're double wielding?
Double dicks. Kaz, we're
almost. Gazmo.
We're almost at capacity.
No!
I know, right?
We didn't even get into it. It's 3PX.
Well, that's what I was going to talk about.
All right. Okay.
I'll say for the last, 5-10 minutes or so, let's talk about your podcast because when did you start? First off, tell me about the podcast. When did you get started and what's it about?
Started in October officially, but I actually had been cooking this up for the last 4 years.
You've talked about it. You've talked to me about it quite a few times.
I've been wanting to do it for a long time. I started it in Chicago for maybe one episode. It wasn't where I wanted it to be, so it's the first time in my life I actually stopped something when I should have before I let it fuck up.
And much like us always following in each other's footsteps, I did the same thing. My first podcast, I said, no, that's not going to work.
Yep, you just got to stop sometimes when you know you got a good thing. So I waited. I got out to California. I got a bit more experience under my belt. Got in touch with a friend somebody I met out there through the Chicago Photographic Society, my good friend and partner Jim Watkins there on the show, who's got a voice of silk.
I've heard it. It's amazing.
Yeah. He's definitely my better half on this podcast.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Your voice is terrible.
Isn't it? It's that Southern draw.
I know.
But I'm
no,
the guy.
Girls like that.
But see, I'm producer, producer, creator, host, creative, director. So I'm handling a lot of stuff background. So right. on the podcast, I'm, you know, turning dials and shifting
things. You're the man behind the, throne. I'm trying. The power behind the throne.
And then.
And you're also on the throne.
And Jim's the beautifully sounding one that keeps the conversation going very well. So what we do is we actually bring in documentary photographers, street photographers, people working on projects, setting up galleries, just to let them tell their stories and inspire other photographers to get the fuck out of the house, grab their camera and actually take pictures.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's the long and short of it. It's usually about 60 to 80 minutes long, introspective quite a bit, and they talk about their past and how they got to where they are.
How often do you do a show?
Bi-weekly. Right now, we got more shows that we're going to be dropping in soon called micro segments. So they're little 15-minute kind of, you know, buffer shows in between.
And where can we go to hear this?
StreetPX.com, or you could find us on Facebook at Facebook.com/StreetPX.
And I've listened to the show. It's very good.
I appreciate that.
And I was going to say, it's hard for me to listen to that show only from the perspective that I don't know anything about photography.
It is a niche show.
It is. It's like Pro Wrestling Unscripted here.
Yeah.
Except one's art, one's wrestling.
Terminology is going to fall on deaf ears if you're not into it.
But it's a good show. It's very professional. You guys sound great.
It's about the arts too. And there's more to it than just the photography.
It's got a great flow to it.
Yeah.
I highly recommend it. StreetPX.com.
Thank you. Yep. Right? Appreciate that. That's it.
All right. And it was good to have you here.
I want to talk longer, but you and your damn 1 hour.
Hey, we have to have some semblance of, or else we'll have anarchy.
That's true.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Thank you.
Let's regulate.
We'll save it for the next time you come by though. We'll do another show.
Thanks everybody out there for listening.
Yes.
Thank you, cousin. Thank you for having me on.
It was great to have you on here. I had so much fun. I hope you come back. I want to talk to you again. We'll talk more about all the other stuff we were talking about. We were going to talk about, but we had those great questions from the audience.
I appreciate that, everybody.
Yes. Thank you to Ryan Casper, R.E. Casper from StreetPX Photography and Podcast, for coming on the show. Talk to us about a lot of random stuff. Thanks to Ethan for not clicking the buttons too hard as he plays Smash Brothers. And thank you guys for listening once again. He always dies. He's not very good. Thanks for listening to Mr. 100. We'll be back on Thursday. Maybe Tanner, maybe not. We'll find out. We'll be back on Thursday to talk about some more fun stuff. Thank you guys for listening so much. Have a great night, and we'll see you next time.